So Mr. Beast's How to Succeed in Mr. Beast's production document just leaked. And I think it's actually really interesting read. I think that if you're a creator, you're an entrepreneur, you're a founder, you work in a company, it's worth the read. Love him or hate the guy, I just think that there's something that you can take from this. And I posted it on Twitter. It got like a million views, 10,000 bookmarks. So today, let's get through my unfiltered analysis reactions of the newly leaked Mr. Beast production document. So I'm not going to read you all of this. You guys can read yourself while I'm talking. But I think I'm just going to give you my reactions to all 36 pages and what I find most interesting. So first is he doesn't call this a rule book. He said this is not a rule book. And it's not just like a bunch of, hey, you need to follow these things. But I find the most interesting thing is he's so casual about the whole thing. I feel like it's a friend of mine who's writing to me and I'm just reading it. It's like almost like he's texting me this. He even calls out that there's grammar issues. And I think that's really powerful. It feels like he just like had a pot of coffee one night. I can just like picture it now. And he just started writing and then he like published this. So I think that more companies should do this, have their founders just write what they're feeling about, you know, how to do XYZ. Let me take a sip. And yes, I'm drinking Coca-Cola Oreo edition. Don't ask me why. I'm trying it. And, I'm not sponsored, obviously, but it kind of slaps. Okay. So that is page two. Let's go to page three. So he says something here that's really interesting. He said, I could make a separate book for creative, a separate book for production, a separate book for editors, but I think that'd be dumb. I actually would kill to see what those separate books would look like. But I understand his point. His point is this is a book for everyone here, but I do think I would love to see that. And I wonder what you think would be in some of those books too. I love how clear the goal is for this whole document. He says, our goal here is to make the best videos possible. All companies need this. All companies need just a really clear goal in English or whatever language, but like sixth grade, fifth grade, seventh grade, just really easy to understand. But this document is so simple that even a child could read it. And probably because some children probably are reading this. Like, and I mean, I'm joking, obviously not children, but young people are reading this. He makes it really, really simple. So page four, he says 99% of movies or TV shows would flop on YouTube. Now, that sounds really obvious when he says it, but I never thought of it that way. I guess, yes, every medium is different. What works on mobile, what works on different social platforms don't necessarily work on each other. So the fact that Jimmy, we'll call him Jimmy, even though I think there's two people on the planet. You either call Mr. Beast, Mr. Beast, or you call Mr. Beast, Jimmy. You know what? I'm not calling him Jimmy. We're going to keep it. I'm going to call him Mr. Beast because that's how, I don't know him personally that well. Although I have DM'd with him a couple times. All right. Mr. Beast, he's got that YouTube blueprint, right? And I think that saying that to everyone that, we are not Hollywood or different. What works there won't work here, I think is really, really smart. He says something at the bottom, which I don't know about. He talks about you're either an A player, B player, or C player. There's only room in this company for A players. A players are obsessive, learn from mistakes, coachable, intelligent, don't make excuses, believe in YouTube. B players are people that need to be trained into A players. C players are just average employees. If you're a junior A player, I don't know, could you be on Mr. Beast's team? Does that not work? I don't really understand his vibe here. And I think that there's some people that just are, you know, they don't come out of the womb as A players, right? They need to be groomed and stuff like that. So it feels like a bit much. I get his point, but let me know in the comments what you think of that comment. Page 5. Okay, this is interesting. So here he explains how to go viral on YouTube in just a few words. So that's really cool. He just like breaks down, like this could be 100 pages. He breaks it down into basically one page. So on one hand, I think it's genius. On the other hand, I actually don't believe this applies to all video creators. For example, myself, I create niche B2B business content. I create content around how to come up with startup ideas and tactics in terms of taking those ideas and shipping them. Some of my best videos are literally like 2 hours long and with like very little preparation, just like live cooking. I mean, this video, who knows? Maybe this video gets a million views, but it's literally just me talking about, you know, reacting to something. And it's not like super, super optimized at all. So I think for niches, I'm going to have to disagree with you, Mr. Beast. But for maybe if you want to be for everything, if you want to be a top 10 video creator, I do think he's right. Shh, don't tell anyone. But I've got 30 plus startup ideas that could make you millions. And I'm giving them away for free. These aren't just random guesses. They're validated concepts from entrepreneurs who've built $100 million plus businesses. I've compiled them into one simple database. Compiled from hundreds of conversations I've had on my podcast. But the main thing is, most of these ideas don't need a single investor. Some cost nothing to start. I'm pretty much handing you a cheat sheet. The Idea Bank is your startup shortcut. Just click below to get access. Your next cash flowing business is waiting for you. Page 6. I looked at this. This is a key moments for audience retention. And really the big thing that stuck out to me was that 60 million people clicked on his video. 60 million people. We just had the debate in the US here. You know, Donald Trump, Kamala Harris. And that's like about the same amount of people who watch that debate, who watch this Mr. Beast video. There's more people who watch this video than live in Canada, the second biggest country on the planet. So that's crazy scale. Was also a big reminder to me that, you know, I used to think of YouTube creators as entertainers, but they're actually more like data scientists than they are entertainers. So when you look at the top 100 YouTube creators, they are obsessing over the data. I think that was quite an interesting takeaway from this one. Page 7. Here I'm calling out Mr. Beast. Like, why isn't Mr. Beast building the Y Combinator of creators? Like, you know, as you're reading this, you'll see. It's if he understands how to make people go viral and distribution is more important than product now. It's easier to build product. You can use like AI tools and other software to go and create those products. But it's harder to get distribution. So I just don't really like, why is he selling a Lunchables competitor right now with KSI and Logan Paul, which he got tons of backlash for, when he could be building the Y Combinator of creators, building products, software, and owning piece of them. The other reaction I have to this is the idea of re-engagement makes so much sense, but I had never thought about it. When he writes the, you know, in here, when he talks about re-engagement, I just think that that concept, it's smart and he's a smart guy. He gets it. And he defines it over here. We also want to do something around the 3 minute mark called a 3 minute re-engagement. A re-engagement can be described as content that is highly interested, that fits the story and makes people genuinely impressed. Another way to look at this is if it's a segment that only Mr. Beast can do this, it's important to re-engage the viewer around this time because they could get bored of the story and click off. These Re-engagements are usually spectacles and sometimes needs lots of time and money to perfect, which, by the way, is a bit of his moat. Not a bit of his own. It's his moat. So it's interesting that he calls us out. A good example of a re-engagement is when Carl was put in charge of watching Josh in the 10,000 Every Day You Survive prison video. Page 8. You know, I'm reading this, and especially now that I'm 8 pages deep, I'm like, I love that this guy, Mr. Beast, defines his own language. You've got re-engagement, you've got lull, etc. This is really a hallmark of someone who is exceptional, a founder who's exceptional. And I actually had an opportunity when I was about 21 or 2 to be in a room with a founder of a billion-dollar e-commerce startup. He was the one who told me that I was in this brainstorm and I was like the young person there, giving advice on social media at the time. And I just wanted to get right into it. And he was like, kid, stop, because we need to define what, you know, so we're all on the same page, these 5 or 6 different words so that we can get to our goal. And so here you are, Mr. Beast, doing the same thing. And I do really like it. So in your life too, by the way, define these things. Number 9, page 9. So look at this. This is literally like the product requirements for a software product. So I'll read a little bit. The shape of the audience retention graph can tell you which part of your video are most and least engaging to viewers. When the line is flat, it means viewers are watching that part of your video from start to finish. Gradual declines mean viewers are losing interest over time. All videos on YouTube generally taper off during the playback period. Spikes appear when more viewers are watching, rewatching, or sharing those parts of your videos, and dips when viewers are abandoning or skipping. Point is, someone should build software that looks at data like this and gives you insights and says you should do the following things. And maybe that's ViewStats, which is Mr. Beast's software creator analytics company. Maybe that's where he's going with it. But I think that opportunity is a billion-dollar opportunity. There's no question about it. Page 10. So he keeps talking about this. He keeps talking about being obsessed with YouTube. Basically, no matter what department you're in, is a prerequisite to work here. And I don't think he's wrong. I just want to put that out there. I don't think he's wrong at all. I think it's really interesting. Gets me thinking of my own companies. How do you know what does someone need to be obsessed with? What is the one thing that they need to be obsessed with in order for us to be exceptional at our work? That's my reaction to this page. I also have big points for him using haha in the doc. Keeping it casual, my guy. Keeping it casual. Page 12. We're about a third of the way through. We're almost through. When I read something like this, this is a man of excellence. The word late is not in his dictionary. And this whole page really is about, you know, don't be late. And it's your fault. And, you know, it's important to have bias for action, meaning it's important to actually go and do things that you said you were going to do. And you can't blame people. And he just has zero tolerance for it, which makes me just believe. I'm not surprised how he's able to pull off what he's able to pull off. And you can tell how seriously, just by reading this, you can really tell how seriously he takes this. Page 13, I mean, this is a massive block of text. Seems stressful, but I get it. I like that he said he wasn't perfect here. You know, we see some humanity here. You know, he says he's not perfect. I think that's an important thing to say. And I think I'm sure some people work for him, and probably most people who work for him, they look at Mr. Beast as almost like a god, you know, and it's great that he said that he's not perfect. He gets stressed. And I think that when he lays it out like this, it's just going to make his company run so much smoother, because they're just going to, you know, you're reading this and you're like, okay, I kind of get this guy. You know, here I am working three, you know, he says, here I am, basically doing three full-time jobs all by myself. Little things like sending videos to people for birthdays, attending events, networking, all, et cetera, all add up because I'm the face of the channel. On top of that, I'm you know, on top of being the main talent, I have to work with each channel to make sure the creatives are basically evolving and not getting stale, and in general, be a visionary for them. Basically running four channels at a high level, better than anyone else in the world can run one. We also have Beast Burger, Feastables now. He has his Lunchables thing. And I still have to set the vision and be the lead in creative. So he's got all these things, you know, it's a lot going on, and it's tough. I get it. I'm sure there's people listening to this that are like, boohoo, Mr. Beast, what a tough life you live. But I mean, listen, he's playing he's in the Olympics, right? He's doing it. And it's important that founders communicate what's going through their mind. And here he is doing that. So I do commend him for that. This whole page 15, I would have titled it Creativity Constraints Fuel Creativity. He basically just talks about how, you know, don't go over budget. You know, here I'll say a little bit of it. I don't think it comes to a surprise when I say we don't have unlimited money here. Actually, by the way, I think some people think that there is unlimited money. So it's good that he said that. We can't have every video constantly going over budget because the money has to come from somewhere, but you're in a tough spot because I constantly want better and better videos. By the way, this is kind of like, there's like a Venn diagram, which is like the worst client, which is I want things like cheap, fast, and good, cheap, and fast. He wants, Jimmy, Mr. Beast wants things good, cheap, and fast. Well, that's tough. That's a tough client. So, sorry, you know, employees. People always assume money is the answer, and if we just spend more money, we can give what Jimmy wants, which is wrong. Creativity is the answer. Here is an example I use all the time about our gaming team. Basically, they love to give away money every video, but which sounds cooler to you as a prize for a gaming video? $20,000 or a year supply of Doritos? To me, Doritos is much funnier. So, constraint fuels creativity. He wants people to come up with great ideas. Totally get it. That's my little edit to this slide. That's what I would have said. I agree with him. I mean, if I'm trying to create creative ideas, I want the most creative ideas. Page 16, backup day. No one will ever have 100% success rate when it comes to filming our videos on time and on budget. It's impossible. You can still do certain things that increase the probability of success. And one of those is having a backup day, just something I had never heard of, but it makes a lot of sense. Basically, you know, basically the idea is have some buffer room. You know, if you need to deliver on a Tuesday, you want to make sure that you can extend to a Wednesday if something were to go wrong, and you can make up for it. So, where is the idea of backup day been my whole life? Love it. Smart move. This just, when you're reading this, you know that Mr. Beast has gone into some tight situations where things got crazy. He probably spent $1 million on a set and all these people, and they weren't able to finish it. And the owner of the chateau says, sorry, you got to be out at 8 a.m. tomorrow. So he's talking from experience. I think that was a good slide. This could be one of the more interesting pages of the entire document. And basically, he talks about how to communicate with other people. And most people don't understand communication. And most companies are pretty bad at communication. They don't define what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it. So I love how he breaks it down. When to do in-person communication, when to do email, how to think about text, no excuses, move on, simple. I love it. I think that, you know, every company needs something like this. And it felt very human and, you know, reading it. So I thought this was really cool. This was surprising. This is probably one of the more surprising pages in the entire document. He talks about consultants. Consultants are literally cheat codes. Need to make the world's largest slice of cake? Start off by calling the person who made the previous world's largest slice of the cake, LOL. Love how he puts LOL there. He's already done countless tests and can save you weeks of work. I really want to drill this point home because I'm a massive believer in consultants. Because I spent a decade of my life hyper-obsessing over YouTube, I can show a brand new creator on how to go from 100 subscribers to 10,000 in a month. On their own, it would take them years to do it. But consultants are a gift from God. Said no one ever, I don't think. Please take advantage of them and every single freaking task assigned to you. Always, always ask yourself if you can find a consultant to help you. I thought this was interesting. I also tend to use, you know, I don't call them really consultants. They're experts, right? You of course, you're trying to accelerate whatever it is you're doing as fast as possible. Get the person that's done the thing that you're trying to do. I don't think what he means here is hire McKinsey or hire BCG. I think what he means is hire experts. And I think he's right. Quick ad break. Let me tell you about a business I invested in. It's called boringmarketing.com. So a few years ago, I met this group of people that were some of the best SEO experts in the world. They were behind getting some of the biggest companies found on Google. And the secret sauce is they've got a set of technology and AI that could help you outrank your competition. So for my own businesses, I wanted that. I didn't want to have to rely on Mark Zuckerberg. I didn't want to depend on ads to drive customers to my businesses. I wanted to rank high in Google. That's why I like SEO, and that's why I use boringmarketing.com, and that's why I invested in it. They're so confident in their approach that they offer a 30-day sprint with 100% money-back guarantee. Who does that nowadays? So check it out. Highly recommend boringmarketing.com. Page 19. So this was a weird one. It's a weird page. So no does not mean no. So what he's saying here is basically you have to do everything you can to do the best possible thing for the experience, for the business. And just push through things. So if you get a no, let's say, you know, you can't film here, you have to keep going. And you have to say, of course, you know, what can I do to film here? You know, don't take no for an answer is basically what he's saying. I agree with him. Like you want that startup mentality. At the same time, you don't want to hurt other people, of course. So I would say, I agree with the spirit of it, and I just think I would have put a little asterisk. It could get a bit hairy there and make people feel uncomfortable. So I wonder if you know, let me know if you agree with me there. Page 20. This is a short page, but the takeaway, he leads his company in a very meritocratic way. If you get him a 1 on 10 on YouTube Studio, which means, you know, your video is really outperforming, he'll love you. So he wants the best, and he's data driven. So if you're number one and you're helping, this is a guy who's going to go up to bat for you. It's my lesson learned there. Page 21. So it's cool actually that you can see this. So these are his top 10 videos in the first 45 days. So the fact that 44 days, the fact that he's getting 198 million on his first one and 39 million on 10 is really interesting to see the variety. And the lesson here is that, and I've actually been learning this myself as I'm spending more time on YouTube, is, you know, it's very, YouTube is like a hits driven social app. So you can see here that this is like the Squid Game in real life outperforming so much. You know, we're talking 5 times, basically. That's a big deal. It's a big deal. So for him, this is like the difference between making a lot of money and probably losing money. And then when I look at my own, these are my recent videos. I'm a small YouTuber. Subscribe if you want to make, you know, if you're enjoying stuff like this, but you want more of it. It's interesting. I have a similar hits driven model. I got a few at the top, and then these are, you know, underperforming. So It's interesting that the reason why I bring this up is if you're a small YouTube creator, you have this is relevant. This whole document is relevant because he's having the same problems that we are all having. And he's got big numbers, man. What clicked for me after reading this, starting, you know, this page and the last page, is the difference between a title and a thumbnail is the difference between millions of views. And so he talked about like titling something ketchup before. And just these little changes in title make a really big difference. And these little changes on thumbnail make a big difference. And it just makes sense that he's like an A/B testing God. That's what he does. I also, when I saw this together, all these together, it was interesting because they're like basically all the same thumbnail. It's like all the same thumbnail with like a different image here related to the video. So this is kind of interesting. If you're creating thumbnails, like maybe, I think most of my thumbnails have like right, I'm on the right side, like they're not on the left side. Like, maybe you should copy Mr. Beast because this is probably working. Okay. 23. Random things that you should know. There was one thing that bothered me about this page that I think could be worded in a better way. So he says, I'd rather you be honest with each other than nice to each other. And he's talking about people on set. I think you can be honest and nice. And I think that you could create a more productive working environment and a happier world if you do that. So I think I like Mr. Beast. I like that you want people to be direct. You want people to be clear. You want people to be honest. At the same time, I think the way, you know, you want to do that in a pleasant, positive way. Or else that's not a fun work environment and that, yeah, just kind of sucks. So I'm going to assume that you mean that on this one. Because I do think that people can be honest and nice. I do think that I really like here. He says, "Me like simple. The simpler, the better. Apply with a grain of salt." In caps, but he keeps driving this point around simplicity home, and I really, really like that. Page 24. When he goes in bold, he's basically like writing out things like almost like tweetable things. And just like bangers, like, but yeah, you know, the biggest like takeaway for me is when I'm reading something like this is what would be the difference in the quality of Mr. Beast videos if people worked 40 to 60 hours a week, just, you know, 60 hours a week is still working like really hard instead of 100 hours. You know, I'm not an all-nighter guy. I work hard, but I do not believe and all-nighters. I started and sold three companies before the age of 30. And I don't think I've worked more than, 40 to 50 hours a week. I just don't believe in it. I think that I'm not even talking about, you know, I just, yeah, I don't. I think that I need like reset time in order to be creative. So I don't know. I think great work can be done in a standard work week if you work hard. And if not, something is broken. So biggest takeaway for page 25 is he says, what is the goal of our content? And Mr. Beast responds, to excite me. The goal of our content is to excite me. I just didn't expect him to say that. I thought he would talk about like, there's all these people and we want to make them happy and people love our content. I did not expect for him to just talk about himself on page 25. So page 27... he's talking about one video has 120 million views, the other has 45 million views. Look at these retention numbers and see if you can pick which one got triple the views. The point is he's back to data. And I love it. I love that he's so data driven. That was a huge surprise for me. But I was wondering why there's no talk around a metric around comments and positivity around the comments. I know for myself, when I create a piece of content, yes, I look at retention. Yes, I look at views. Yes, I look at subscribers. But the first thing I honestly look at is to see who's commenting. What are they saying? Are they enjoying it? And I don't know. I didn't get any of that from... So what am I missing? This was really interesting. So he on page 32 adds his content. He says, if you watch a lot of YouTube, you'll probably notice that when someone does a brand deal, it's boring and sounds like they're reading a script. We take a different approach to brand deals. We like to integrate them. And then he shows what happens with the brand deal. So I just think that we all know that people skip advertisements. But if you can make it really exciting and make it a part of the content and just have no creator, that's when you're winning. So that's what everyone should be focused on. So we got a few more pages. This is where I guess a bit unhinged. So HR definitely did not review this doc. I'll give you an example. If talent wants to draw a dick on the whiteboard in the video or do something stupid, let them, assuming they know all the risks and aren't missing context on why it's not safe. Help them be idiots. I don't know. Being stupid and having fun, definitely, I get that part of the shtick, but I can imagine that could offend people or go the wrong way. Understand his point and why it's important to the content, but I don't think it lays out a culture that most people would want. So I don't know if this scales, and this seems like this can go bad. That's just my gut reaction. And then the last page, your career. Last but not least, he talks about people, the people who work for him. He basically says that he's going to make you rich. If you do well, and you create, you're exceptional at what you do, you will be rich if you work for Mr. Beast, basically is what he's saying. And you'll make more money than you could ever dream of making at any other company. So he puts that in words, he puts that in writing. And my reaction to that is the sentiment I get is just, I don't know, when I hear people saying stuff like that, I'm kind of like, okay, what does that mean for me? Does that mean I'm going to own 0.1% or 0.1, 1-2%? But I mean, he can fire me at any time. Like, I don't know what it really means, but the sentiment around this is a big opportunity. If you do your job well, this is going to be big. I totally get. And he isn't wrong on that. If you stay there, and I'm sure if you do a good job, you probably will be able to crush it for him. And that's the document. And I enjoyed reading it. Of course, I didn't agree with everything. That'd be foolish. But it definitely got me thinking about how to build on YouTube, how to build a content driven business, how to think about getting your employees, your team on the same page. And it got me thinking, I want to create I know it's not a rule book, a not rule book, a culture document for my team. So, I hope you got something out of this. Hope that got your creative juices flowing. And if it did, and you've retained and you've made it here, avid few durations long, hit us up, with a like and a comment and a subscribe, and, I'll see you next time. It's been real.